Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. Glad you're along tonight as we step into the next to last week. Halloween is next week, and Brad and I will be with you. We're not quite sure yet on either the 30th or on Halloween night. A lot of folks are busy on Halloween night. Not on the East Coast, but West Coast, so we'll see. Now, I don't know how many years ago it's been, but I will never forget the first piece of David D's political art that I saw. I kid you not, it was instantaneous. I knew I was looking at something that would forever change what had always been called political art. I knew I was looking at a new form of making enormous statements of intellect, of emotion, and of political accuracy with art as the medium. I had never seen anything like it. And I wrote back to David and I said, I'd be happy to post this, something like, only if you promise to keep doing it. I told him, you will be without peer, without equal. You will be world famous, not that he's after fame, but you will be world famous as the man who took art to a whole new dimension of expression and of power. And he has done that. Now, what's most important about tonight's visit with David is that for the first time, he has put together a book. I call it a coffee table book. It's a book, volume one, as it were, of his brilliant art. And there is a special on a limited edition, collector's edition, as it were, signed and other things by David. And there are only a few left. But we're going to tell you how you can buy your copy of the book itself, the regular book. And if you're lucky, you might be able to grab one of the very few remaining collector's edition. They're signed and numbered and all the rest of it. So click on David's name in guests or go to dds.com and take a look and you'll see the book. It's right there. And it is absolutely stunning. There are examples of some of the pictures, the great pieces of art that they're unforgettable. They're the kind of thing that when you look at it and pull it into your consciousness, heck, you don't have to pull it, it goes in. It imprints on you, and you remember, and you want to show people. And people send these things all over the world. I mean, they are extraordinary. So, let's see how he's doing tonight. How are you, David?
Hello, my friend. It's incredible to be here because the reason that I am here is that we have put together, and I'll say me and you, you gave me the platform to present this sort of illustration to begin with, and it was 7 years ago, as your question was. It was 7 years almost to the day that I did that first piece, and now I've done around 500 pieces. But the fact that I'm on the show tonight marks that I've printed a book that has the illustrations in it. You know, I've tried for the last 3 years. I had a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Of them. Yeah. You saw one of my first ones, and it just didn't work out. I finally found a printer that prints such quality, and it's just, you know, I'm stunned. I sit and look at my own book, and I just can't believe that I can relax, and now I've done it. So.
Well, you're always wanting, and, well, we talked about this innumerable times, it was imperative that the art reflected the digital brilliance that you could see on a computer monitor. It had to have that life, that verve, that power in the colors and the definition and the clarity. And I don't know how these printers did it, but these illustrations just jump off the pages.
I know the color is as true as it was on the computer. I'm just so surprised by it. A big reason, you know, it's nice to have to sell a product. I've never sold a product before. As you know, I gave this art away for free to anybody as an activist to help fight the system. And this is the first time I've ever had anything for sale. But more importantly is that the internet, which I knew nothing about the internet 20 years ago, and now my whole life it seems that I'm living on the internet. They want to take it down. They want to block out the information that's getting out. So it's so important to you know, a lot of people lose information that they have in hard drives and stuff. I've lost a whole computer worth of stuff one time. It's just heartbreaking to think about. So you can't get too comfortable in the digital age. You have to have it in print. And now there's a book you can actually hold of this illustration, and you can hand it to your friends. And I went down to the pub I like to go to on the weekends, and I walked in, and some people didn't know what I did. They knew me. And I handed them the book, and I got to actually watch their faces as they turned the pages. And it's the first time I've seen that because, as you know, I'm only on the internet, and I get emails, but I've never seen people's reaction to these illustrations and the discussions that just pop right up. So it's a lot of fun.
Kind of instantly revives some of these people out of their stupor of day-to-day banality, and all of a sudden they're thinking again.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about the art. It goes in before they have a chance to think about it or to block out, you know, if they agree with it or not. It's too late. The illustrations actually make a point, and I do it without text. As you know, I try not to use any text in it so that they become really universal. I have fans of the art that are from all countries, and a lot of them don't even speak English, you know. So
that matters.
That's interesting.
Doesn't matter. The images, it reminds me of taking a flash picture of something. Boom, there goes the flash. Boom, the image is in your camera. Well, it's the same thing as if you were to imagine these pieces of art flashing into your consciousness. Boom, they're in there. They just stick. And I'm looking at, and if you click right below David's name, it says new coffee table book of his brilliant art. That'll show you the book, and it'll give you an idea of some of the pieces in there. And they are absolute classics. I know I get a chance to see some of the art before it goes up, and we have a lot of fun. I just can't even believe what this man creates, because I can tell immediately when I call it the muse or whatever is at work. And they're like this guy sitting in front of the TV, and you folks can see this, one guy in a blue shirt. He's holding up a football in his right hand and a can of beer, I think, in the left hand, or his remote, I don't know what it is, cell phone. And he's looking at the TV. And behind him is a big wall of debt. He doesn't care. He's got a chain on his leg. He's happy. He's looking at the ball game. That says so much. I mean, literally, some of these pieces of art could be used for each one could have an essay written about it.
Well, I have some people that have written to me, professors in colleges, and they say that they actually use these in presentations.
Oh, what a wonderful idea.
Oh, yeah. They project them up, and they have discussions about them. And
oh, wow.
It's amazing to imagine. But even... Look, I mean, that's, 30 or even, you know, our friend Roger, he teaches down at the college. He teaches maybe 200 people at a time. I don't know where I was going with that. I was thinking, you know, the amphitheater sort of feeling. Also, you know, David Icke uses my work, and he just nearly, I don't know if he sold out, but he did the presentation in London at
Wembley.
Wembley Arena. Yeah, yeah, and I think it was 10,000 or 15,000 people, and he projects the images behind him as he talks, and he was using my art, and so it's kind of like being in concert. It's interesting.
It is, you know, in a way that is. It is a concert. A concert.
But you have the book.
Information.
I gave you a copy of the book there. You have the book in front of you, right?
I will reach over and pick it up right now.
Okay. Because yeah. I picked it up, and I start flipping, and I end up studying it just like anyone else would, because it almost tells a story. Somebody wrote to me and said that this is a piece of history, and boy, it really is. I mean, I look at it like, imagine 20 years from now, somebody picks this up, the information, imagine where they're going to be in 20 years. This might be the good old days we're talking about.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. We are, as Tex Mars just said in the last hour, this country is in a death spiral right now, and you are recording the actual agony of this death spiral. That's what we're seeing. And yet the average American doesn't understand it. They've been anesthetized with the media and with all kinds of things, not to forget to mention stress and anxiety. People are under such stress and anxiety that they get numb, and they just want to disengage. They want to pull back.
They do, and I try to throw in some humor. Sometimes I do feel guilty if I make fun of something that is incredibly painful or a situation that is, you know, you hope people would laugh. And sometimes I won't even go there. I won't even do anything amusing about it. I'll let it just. I'll go as dark as you're willing to go with me. You know, have you seen the new piece that I put up with the Monsanto watermelon? Yeah.
Folks, go to rents.com and look at the piece that's up there. We got to take a break here, but just look at the top and look at David's newest piece. He sends me these things early on, and I just couldn't believe this when I saw it.
I know you got to go see this art. If you ever see one piece of my art, you got to go see the one that's up right now on rents.com. The farmer, the Monsanto farmer. You got to see this.
I mean, the guy, even the farmer's eyes just creep you out behind that mask, and the kids run. Well, it's all there, folks. It's all there. And you see the strands, the double helix, and the sky above, and black, threatening sky. And okay, hold on just a second. We'll come right back with David Dees as we continue. Okay, again, click on the link right below David's name and guests, and let's all go take a look at this book together. We'll just kind of mosey down memory lane and look at some of these incredible timeless classics. They really are timeless. They don't date. They're there. It doesn't matter who the primary is. It's the idea. There's so much expressed there. It's quite remarkable. The cover, of course, says it all. If you look at it, marionette, hands, faceless, headless, working from behind the building. And
the building is the central bank, Rothschild's central bank.
It's the central bank building. Every country in the world, remember, is run by a central banking system. That's the way the game is played. And all but three of them are locked, tied to, or otherwise affiliated with the Rothschilds. And those three countries that do not have Rothschild central banks are Cuba, North Korea, and Iran. And Libya didn't, Iraq didn't, and look at those two countries now. They've been turned into open sewers of death, humiliation, destruction, and suffering by whom? By this country, at the behest, the order of, ultimately, the Rothschilds through its own incorporated country, the racist Zionist state of Israel. All right, so there's your cover, and this is...
The cover was done real early on. I think it was about the sixth piece I did. So this was done 7 years ago. And I remember when it's so dramatic, the angle looking up at the bank and then the puppeteer, you know, the banker's hands, the strings from the sticks he holds go to the control of the media, to the wars, to famine, the big pharma, to all the governments. And when I did it, I sat back and looked at it, and I said, well, how am I going to top this, you know? So it's ironic that it's on the cover, because it really tells the whole story of control and how much trouble we're in.
Yeah, and if you look inside the windows of the bank, you see the fires of hell glowing in back red.
And also the clock on the bank says 9/11. So.
I noticed that. I was just looking at that with my magnifying glass. I hadn't noticed that before. Yeah. Yeah, I use a magnifying glass on the screen to get some of the detail. The second row, we remember the Walmart picture, how Walmart, the Walmartization of the country and the world, is continuing at breakneck pace. Main Street is dead. You see Main Street there. Main Street is crumbling, falling into the ground. People are running. Mom and pop stores gone. It's all China Mart now. And Walmart right above it, just coming down and crushing everything.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the highways don't even go through the small towns anymore. So, I mean, how can they even survive? There's no... Well, I think it's all by design. They really want to bypass that and bring people into the city. So
well, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. First, we had
about Agenda 21. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had the big box stores, the Walmart, and then they came out with the Super Walmart, and now they have something to kind of pick up the slack at the lower end. If there happens to be a mom-and-pop Main Street that survives somewhere, they're going to put in mini Walmarts now. I think they're 20,000 feet, something like that. And they'll have everything that basically people need, and they'll wipe out the rest of the Main Street American business. It's gone.
Right. And the illustration opposing page, by the way, there's 116 pages, 114 full-page illustrations. And I tried to stretch them out as big as the whole page. So it's quite a presentation. And they're laid out in a way where it almost tells a story. And
oh, sure,
the World Mart piece is right at the beginning of the book. And the one that opposes it on the other side is these two very obese people that are in front of about five TVs. And it says, everything is okay. America's the beautiful and no need to protest. So... And they have all their junk food in front of them, and all the commercials are going.
Well, those are two of the people that we'll see in those Walmart, World Mart kind of picture collages.
I saw one last week in Walmart. God forbid I did go in there.
There actually are people like that in there. They, for some reason, these stores are their haven.
I know. You know, there's a McDonald's right in the Walmart, so that's kind of good.
Yeah, I've seen that on the outside. Yeah. I've been in there a few times to look around, and it is what it is. Go ahead.
The illustrations, when I was in college, you know, I was actually pre-med of all things. I had some bad career advice early on, and I made it into pre-med, and I went nowhere, so I ended up taking psychology. And I remember the last of the year, I had an advanced psychology class, and I already knew I was going to be an artist at that point. And the next year I was going to be going into art school. But so my final psychology project was I took about 150 slides and I projected them and I used electronic music the scope of the concept, what I'm trying to say is the concept of the presentation was showing how art predicts the future, or that it reflects the future, or what's happening in the present time and in the future. So the people that watched this presentation, there was one girl just broke out in tears and was very emotional about the whole experience. So I think it's interesting that now I'm doing these illustrations that people that are unaware of what's happening with the chemtrails and with vaccines and with all the poisons they're putting in the food, the mind control that's happening through the media. All these things are happening right now, but there's so many people asleep. This book, I guarantee you buy this book and you show it to your family, because I did use some of the illustrations in this. I tried to pick them with the idea that, you know, that it could be on a coffee table and children are around. I could envision 5-year-olds going through this book. And, you know, I really pulled out, I have some pretty hardcore, you know, some dark subjects I've covered, and I didn't put all of those in. I dropped a couple of those in there, so I made it pretty G-rated. You know, a little violence in it, but I say I would really love you to get this book and show it to your family, if particularly if your wife is not woke up or your husband's not woke up. You know, just let them take a look at this and see what they think about it, because it's kind of hard to deny when you see all these evidence of chemtrails in this book, and the way it's presented is it just says, look, you know, it's time to wake up. It's really a good wake-up book.
Well, it kind of goes right along with what I've been suggesting for people who have a friend or friends who don't get it and are resistant. And there's a trick you can play on them. You can say, hey, I saw that. Can you help me out? I saw this video, and I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's 3 minutes long. Would you look at it and tell me what you think? And most people, their egos are kind of stroked. They say, yeah, sure, I'll help you. If you play dumb... And sometimes you can crack people open like that, and they look at the video and they'll start telling you what's in it. You go, really? Yeah. Well, this book is the same thing, but magnified by 100 or 1,000. You put this book in somebody's hands and say, hey, look at this. And they will not be able to stop turning the pages.
No.
They literally won't. No, no.
You can, and if you're talking about the pictures, by the time you get even 10 pages in, you're already... You're looking away from the book and you're confronting the person. I've seen it happen already. It gets you going.
And people will look at this multiple times. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if some people just take their time and go through it a half, third at a time. It's that amazing. You can get the book right now, online.
That ad, that ad is right underneath the big ad is up now.
Yeah, of course.
The big blue ad, yeah.
Yeah, you can look in Guest, and you can also go down lower in the page. I've got the whole thing up there. It's The Political Art of David Deese, Volume 1, and it's right there. Click right on that. You can go order your copy as we speak, right now. PayPal, buy it now. It's right there. It's a remarkable book, 114 full-color illustrations, and I mean full-color. Be right back. Okay, and we're back with David Deese, kind of launching his first book tonight. This is, yes, sir, you there?
Yeah, I
okay.
Just was saying, yay, my first book.
Yeah, you can say yay all night on this one. This is
I know.
Awesome.
I'm really thrilled about it.
Well, I don't know what else to say except what we've been saying, and we're going to continue. Let's look at some more of the pictures, folks, if you'd like. We can go down to the second row on the left. Look for the big photo, the big image of David's book right on the Rents.com homepage, just down below the all the noise at the top. You'll see it there. You'll see his new splash art piece. Scroll on down and you'll see the book. It's right there. Now, the second row of pictures, just the sample pictures, just to give you an idea of what's in the book, shows all the cars headed into the Promised Land. And it just says it all. It's all there. How do these images come to you? I know sometimes you call and you say, oh, I got this, I'm thinking of this, thinking of that. It just amazes me how these things, how did they come into your mind?
Well, that particular one, it's the illustration is of a five-lane freeway that's going into a gate. But if you know what the gate is, it's actually Auschwitz. That little tower there that they're going through. Is
well, they think it's the Promised Land.
I had that image of Auschwitz. I feel, as I'm a revisionist, and I feel totally different about Auschwitz now. But at the time, I was not woke up to that, and I considered, the whole concentration camp. I believe the whole 6 million thing, and so, I started out. You asked me, how did I come up with it? I first had that image. I saw that powerful image. It actually was a railroad track, I believe, that went through there.
Yep.
So I was trying to think, well, what could I have go through there? And then it just came from there as I said, okay. And it became the entrance into America. And on the right it says, you're now entering America. Those with no chip merge right. And there's a ton of chemtrails in the sky, as usual, and a lot of cameras. And also interesting is that there's a fence, a barbed wire prison fence that's
keep
on either side of the car.
Inside. So
the cars are not, no one gets in, no one gets out. So
yeah.
Like it's just a good presentation for a future that we're heading towards. And on the opposite side of the page is Obama holding out the blue pill. And if you know from the movie Matrix, and you take the blue pill and everything stays the same, you wake up and everything's the same. And that's what it is. On this left side is a kaleidoscope of the media networks, CBS and NBC and 60 Minutes and all the Zionist media shows that, really people go for their information. And it's amazing when somebody talks about something they saw on these shows and I go, Wow, I used to be there. How can I politely say that the things you're looking at, you know, how do you wake them up? So I think that illustration kind of does that. It wakes you up to the fact that this is a matrix we're in. And one of the things they did say in that movie, remember, was that you were born into this prison. See? And I was born into it. And so the internet is our first chance that we woke up from, you know, the reality that they've created for us.
Right.
It doesn't have to be the way they say it is. And so they really don't like the internet.
The next two, as you say, the book tells a story. The next two are GMO, nightmare stuff. And I remember when you put the piece together with the scarecrow, and talking of crows, the crows are there in the cornfield, and the corn is just ugly, ugly corn. Monsanto
corn. The corn has stitches in it.
Yep.
And the scarecrow has on a straitjacket. And
yep.
he's chained up, so but the crow that's up on his is throwing up the corn. So
that was a master stroke. Yeah,
I always try to make it kind of funny,
And then the next one over, of course, is the mother and her two children,
the genetically modified children,
the GMO kids,
and you can see the effect it had on their skin and their eyes and just the general. Look, it's a GMO family.
You go into any supermarket, ladies and gentlemen, and just spend 5 or 10 minutes. Of course, if you get caught looking, they'll probably have you arrested. But if you go watch a checkout line, or even if you just go through the checkout line, hopefully you'll buy something good if you can find anything decent in a market anymore. And look what's in the carts. You'll see a family, and look what they're buying. And if you're wise to all this, it makes you sad. It makes you angry, and you know that these people are all headed toward major health crises, and they're not going to live as long as they should. This is the first generation, in fact, where the young people will not live on average as long as their parents.
No. I mean, I just read a great book by George Davey about the philosophy of eating, and he questions why the obesity in America, and he went through a lot of chapters talking about fast food and about all of his theories about why everybody's obese, but although he did talk about MSG, he didn't realize that I think, is the main proponent of this huge, horrible thing that we see happening. And I can tell you my evidence of that is that, you know, I lived in Sweden for 9 years. And when I moved there in 2003, everyone was so skinny and amazingly beautiful people. And then I'm allergic to MSG, so I look at labels. I looked in the labels, and there was no MSG in anywhere in the store. So I was able to eat foods I hadn't eaten in years. In 2004, suddenly I had that old feeling of sickness, and I looked on the label, and there was MSG. I went to the store, and everything had MSG. It all came in at once, and I said, oh, boy. And then it was just a few months later. I was on the bus, and I saw obese teenagers, three of them, get on all together, and they were about 30 or 40 pounds overweight. I'd never seen that before. And by the time I left,
MSG,
MSG is, well, you know, type in MSG and the experiments on rats. They put rats with as much food as they want to eat in one cage, and they never got fat. They put food with MSG, and they became three times the size of a normal rat. So, look, I mean, that's what America's become, and Sweden's becoming that. While I was in Sweden, I went over to Ukraine, right? And I got off the plane, and everybody's skinny. And I look, and there's no MSG. I got on the plane, come back to Sweden. Everybody's big. You know?
Well, also, we have to take a break. Type in MSG other names. Very important. MSG other names. The FDA allows MSG manufacturers to come in with 100% pure MSG. If they cut it with 2% of anything that's tolerable or passes their list of acceptable ingredients, they say you can name it whatever you want. Autolyzed yeast protein is MSG. It's 98% pure, 2% something else. MSG other names. Write them down, learn them. Go to the market, understand what's on the label of what you're buying. Okay, I'll be right back. Okay, talking with artist, a political commentator, but more than that, he's a bringer of great vision for people who otherwise, you know, don't have it. It's not our fault. We're being told not to have vision, not to have perception, not to see the big picture. These are the big pictures. We go down one more row of the examples we're looking at, and there's that classic. I've seen that guy with the newspaper and the chemtrails with the sunglasses on in probably half a dozen store windows over the years since that's been out, and I'm just in one little area.
People printed it out, and they just put it in the window or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Black and white.
Piece. It's the one that's called Sunny Until Chemtrails, and the guy's looking at the newspaper, and the weather report is the 68 degrees and sunny until chemtrails.
Yeah.
And that's but the one next one. To it is what we were talking about earlier with all the fast food and the chemical foods flying out of the TV set, hypnotizing the family looking at it. You know, that is the cover of Georgia Davies' new book.
And don't forget MSG. Other names, just write that in. MSG, other names. There's over 50 names, easy, that MSG hides behind now. It's 98% pure MSG. The front of the box or the package will say, contains no MSG. But it contains 98% pure MSG under all these different names.
Right. So the ad that you have up, that people go and look at it, when you scroll down past all these illustrations at the bottom, you'll see... There's actually two books. There's one, it's the limited edition that I put together. It's got, that I sign and I put my quip. One of my favorite one is the Truth Does Not Fear Investigation. And if you know where that came from, it actually is a line from Ingrid Zundel's book.
Yeah.
I saw it in her book and it just jumped out at me. So I used that. I signed the books, I put a quip, and I put my blue ink, a thumbprint or fingerprint on there. And I'll sign it to you. That's limited edition. But there's also the regular edition that is now available. And that's $29 and postage. And that's an incredible deal. I could probably sell the book for more than that. But I wanted everybody to get one, you know.
Yeah.
So I made
you,
it as
you could have gotten considerably more. This is important, though, that you're all about getting the word spread as far and wide as possible. $29 for the book. And then $6 United States Postal Priority Mail shipping. And it's got cardboard backing on both sides of the actual book, which is sealed in clear plastic. Beautiful presentation. You can order it right now. And there are a few of the special limited edition books
right at the
left.
End of that. That's,
right
I mean,
at the end.
After the night, they're gone.
Yeah.
This show, we actually did it just so we could go ahead and complete that. And is it okay if I say hello to a couple people? I don't
better.
Know if you allow that.
Oh, of course.
A couple of friends. Deborah Tavares, our friend. I just want to say hello to Deborah. You know, I just want to tell her she's doing incredible work. I'm very impressed, and I hope she continues. I think she's on the show tomorrow night, right?
On the program tomorrow night and Wednesday night. We got two very different and very important subjects to cover. She's a real warrior. Yep.
She's a firecracker. And also, Sarah Shannon, she wrote a book called Radiation Protective Food. I did the cover art on it. She's real cool. I like her a lot. Say hello to Sarah. And also, my Danish dude friend in Denmark, Morten. And then, of course, the amazing Emma Christine down at Alex's. There we go. Just wanted to say hello. Shout out, as they say in the radio world.
Very good.
But, you know, also, a shout out to my fans. I mean, look, I'm just a guy doing Photoshop sitting in my living room.
Oh,
and
if it were that
so
simple.
Many, well, it really is. Yeah. I mean, it's what the illustrations, what's complicated maybe is the thinking, but the actual physical or the technique I'm using is not. It's done with Photoshop. I'll tell you exactly how it's done. Everybody should try it. If you're into Photoshop, get a pad and a pen, a Wacom, W-A-C-O-M, Wacom, or Intuos, I-N-T-U-O-S, pad and pen. Get Photoshop, and then all these photographs I find on the internet, they're all in stock photography sites, they're in Google Images, and if you've got the concept, you just cut them together and then you can airbrush them together, and you'd be amazed at what you can come up with. Because I've directed some friends on how to do this, and they've sent me some pretty nice pieces of art. So I encourage everybody to try it. Yeah, but I really am just a guy sitting here doing this. I mean, the great thing is that I have your show to listen to, your site, and the rest of the sites on the internet where I can educate myself, because I realized my schooling, I was not particularly interested in what I was learning, and now I read history and just suck it up. I mean, finding out about World War II.
What an eye opener! What a mind blower to find out the truth.
The truth. I really want to. I have in my mind to do a series of illustrations where I illustrate the truth of World War II, or you know, World War I, II, and I don't know. It'd be an impossible thing to accomplish, I guess. But,
well, it's a goal. I also want to mention probably the last chance that we had. Now, again, I'm going to ask you people to withhold judgment and think big. Don't think small. Don't think brainwashing items that have been thrown your way. Understand that revisionism is real, and World War II, as it is taught, has very little basis in reality. And the truth of the matter is Germany and their leadership were the last chance that we had to stop the New World Order and globalism. And that's
right.
Not a joke.
That's absolutely. The Bolsheviks, we never knew, remember back in the 60s or 70s, when they talk about Russia, we didn't ever know what was going on behind the Iron Curtain, as they call it.
No.
And the Bolsheviks, if you know, in the turn of the century, which were financed by the Jewish bankers, Zionist bankers, were not even Russians. They went in and they took over, they killed the Tsar and his family brutally and tortured them, and then took over and invented this ism, the communism. And, you know what? I don't want to get into this. Let's talk about the book, because it's just too much of a subject to it. But anyway, that's I'm thrilled about studying such things. And all these illustrations, I do research the subject pretty well. I try to, bring a truth to these illustrations. It's very, very rarely that I do something and then people point something out and I have to go and completely change it. So, well, you can kind of depend on me to try to bring you what I consider the truth, and it certainly is a lot of people agree with me. It seems almost like that if a person is woken up in one area, they seem to spring open, their mind opens to everything.
Kind of like
if they're not open to something, then everything is closed. It's a very odd phenomenon.
It's like a string of Christmas lights.
Yeah.
You light one up and the rest of them tend to come on, even if they just blink once in a while. Uncle Sam laying on the table, ER, they're trying to revive him, but looks like a goner.
Oh, that's not true. Uncle Sam actually represents, our feeling about the country, and there
great,
is an incredible
greatest,
feeling
one of the
about
greatest symbols in the world. True.
Yeah, it is, and it can be revived. Uncle Sam, no matter how much he gets slaughtered, he can be brought back, because there's a little thing we have called the Constitution, and if it's actually followed, then we can rebuild. What originally we had.
Yeah, we got to get this somehow the Supreme Court. It's all been stacked so damn diligently against us. But while there's still free men and women in this country, there's still hope. Now, there are a lot of things in the book that obviously we aren't looking at here. I want to tell the folks again, I hope that you... I was thinking the other day of your archive on my homepage, that we should do a new one just for the Sheeple Magazine covers.
All right, Sheeple Magazine. We're up to issue, 16 or 17?
I think so. I think we should put them all in one heading under there as well, if it's okay with you. That's a series.
Yeah, and plus, I have that new magazine called Beam Weapons Digest.
I know. Well, Sheeple says
I'm looking
it all.
Through the book. I'm looking through the book right now, and one of my favorites of all time is the classroom where the kid is at the board, and all the children are looking at him, and he's drawing chemtrails.
Yeah.
He looks like he's about 12 years old, and he's drawing chemtrails on the blackboard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my favorites. Because I actually grew up in the education system. My father, I don't know if I told you, but he was a math teacher. So you know, all of his friends were tend to be teachers, and when they come over and they play cards at my house and stuff, you know, I was friends with teachers. So the education system, what I've learned, you know, as they brought in, as they really stepped up, you know, the mind control and with all the chemicals and stuff, and the what the late 70s was really when it started coming in the mid 80s. They revised the school books, and they just they're dumbing people down. So I think maybe, you know, the baby boomers were some of the last real decent education, and now it's just really crap. And I try to illustrate some of the classrooms. I try to I want everybody to get this book. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, let's tell them again. We got just a few seconds left here. Okay. It's $29 plus $6 postage, and that's U.S. Priority Mail. Very safely wrapped in plastic, cardboard on both sides of it. Comes in a bubble wrap flat envelope, and it'll go anywhere. Overseas shipping. Add 20. Instead of the 6, and you'll get it. You can buy it right now. It's right there. Just click and buy now. And if you want to get one of the limited edition, there's a handful left, literally. Make sure you ask about that. David, congratulations. Just an incredible book, an awesome debut, and let's keep it up.
Thank you, and thank you to Michael Hansen in Orlando, and thank you, Jeff Rentz, and I adore everything you're doing.
Thank you. All right, take care. Talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, David Dees. And this is a book that you have to have. Okay, we'll be back.